Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
What's up, guys? I'm Gary Somerville. It's Patty Pigskin, episode 58. I have Barry and I have Jerry in with me this week, and we're 3 weeks away from the NFL draft, so we're not going to give too much away. We're just going to do a small little preview, chat about Kyler Murray potentially going number one, QB from Oklahoma, who we're most excited to see do a bit of business on opening night. And we're also going to chat about Tuggate, Robert Kraft getting an old hand shandy down there in Florida. The whole thing is still going on, so we have to chat about it. It's getting juicy now, people talking about bomb hoaxes and all that sort of stuff. So short enough episode, but looking forward to it. Episode 58, Patty Pigskin. Our episode 58 player dedication is another Steeler. I feel like we've done a fair few Steelers over the last few weeks. That is linebacker Jack Lambert, another animal from the steel curtain of the 1970s. He was born in Mantua, however you pronounce it, in Ohio in 1952. He played his high school football at the local Crestwood High School as a quarterback. He went on to play college ball at Kent State, the same school as Super Bowl 44 MVP Julian Edelman. And one of his teammates is actually Nick Saban. He was drafted 46th overall in the second round of the 1974 draft by the Steelers. He went on to play 11 seasons as a Steeler in the middle linebacker position in Bud Carson's Tampa 2 defense. He won Defensive Rookie of the Year in 1974. He was known for his hard-hitting style of play and intimidating demeanor. He won 4 Super Bowls with the Steelers, Super Bowl 9 against the Vikings, Super Bowl 10 against the Cowboys, and against the Cowboys again in Super Bowl 13, and finally Super Bowl 14 against the LA Rams. So quite a pretty impressive career there, definitely in the postseason as well as the regular season as a Steeler. Awards, he was in the NFL 1970s and 1980s All-Decade Team, went to 9 Pro Bowls and had 6 first-team All-Pro nods, and he was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1990. So episode 58, player dedication, Jack Lambert from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's get the boys on. Let's get cracking with this week's episode of Patty Pigskin. Last time that I checked, it was 5 chains on my neck. It was no smut on my rep. Last time that I checked, I was selling zones in the set. Make a quarter mil, no sweat. Last time that I checked, I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked, first you get the money, then respect, then the power and the hoes come next. Last time that I checked, I've been self-made from the dribble. I was been saying I'm a killer. Nah, playing no games with you niggas. Pop clutch, switch lanes on you niggas. Nah, I laid down the game for you niggas. Taught you how to charge more than what they pay for you niggas. On the whole thing for you niggas, reinvest, double up, then explain for you niggas, it gotta be love. Run the city, it gotta be cuz. It's for the pieces I took off the Monopoly board. Evening, gents. Mr. Gerard O'Leary from Letterkenny Donegal. Barry Rudney, Tampa, Florida. How's it going, lads?
Doing all right.
Good, yeah.
It's not actually freezing right now. Yeah. Beauty of time hop, I saw last year snowstorm at this exact day. So it's better than it could have been.
Absolutely, yeah. Before we get into it, we have a beer that I just found on the shelf, to be honest with you. I wasn't really prepared this week, so I just said, fuck it, I'll just see what I have on the shelf. Mm-hmm. This is Vanilla Porter. I don't even know how they got here. Did you? Neither of you brought these beers to my house. So someone brought these beers to the house. I don't know when. I don't know who, but they're here now, and we're going to use them for the beer review. So Vanilla Porter, Breckenridge Brewery in Colorado somewhere. Does it say where it is?
Well, I mean Breckenridge.
I would assume it's in Breckenridge. And fine Colorado ales, roasted malts with notes of vanilla.
Littleton,
Colorado. 5.4%. This one, the last one we had was a bit ropey, wasn't it?
Yeah. So you gave us
the ale? Was it black ale? Or
there was like some really strong one that was like also like 9% or something.
Yeah, yeah. So this could be another one of those. I think I need to get back onto the IPAs because all these porters and weird stouts that we're drinking.
I was going to say, we've been experimenting around.
So cheers, lads. We are, we're going to knock these back for the next half hour or so. First impressions.
Oh, given that it was vanilla, not as bad as I thought it would be.
Oh.
I thought it was going to be overly sweet. It's, maybe it's we're not supposed great,
to,
but...
We might supposed to be pouring these out because it's a parter.
Are we sure?
Fuck it. Anyway, right, we are... We need to talk about Thuggate, right? Because it's still going on. It kind of went a bit quiet there in the news for a while, but it's back now. And some crazy shit coming out now is that the Jupiter Police Department apparently called in a fake bomb threat to get everybody out of the Orchids of Asia spa in Jupiter, Florida, where Mr. Kraft was found getting the flute reefed off in there before the AFC Championship game in Kansas. So they called in the hoax bomb threat. Everybody had to evacuate. They got the cameras in under what I think is called the sneak and peek warrant. So, again, police work is not my forte, but a sneak and peek warrant.
It seems aptly named, though, I have to say.
Sneak and peek, if the cops have, like, you know, a good idea that something's going on and they have a warrant to put cameras in, they're allowed to do it. So they went under there. Got the cameras in. Mr. Kraft shows up Saturday night before the AFC Championship game goes in. And
big balls built.
Big blue ball sack on him. He's like, right, I'm here to get the job done. Now, here's what I was wondering. They hug him straight away when he goes in. That's not his first rodeo. Yeah. He has to be a fucking regular there. Like, he walks in, they have him on camera actually hugging all these ladies that are working there. He's definitely been there before. And this night was his unlucky night because they pull him over when he gets out after he got the job done. I think that was a full timeline, wasn't there, by the Jupiter Police? They had, like, Mr. Kraft goes in at 5:48. 2 minutes later, the lights go off. 2 minutes later, the lights go back on again. He's, like, stark bollock naked on his bed. But
he gets pulled over when he leaves, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm trying to think, I'm trying to read, like, did they say why they pulled him over, or did they just pull him over? Because I think when I read it, they didn't know who he was. So when they pulled him over, that was when he got identified as
They asked for the ID.
But, so, like, I'm wondering, the cops just pull him over and say this is a routine pullover. Because if you think you've done something dodgy, why the fuck are you going back the next day again?
That's the crazy thing. Like, he's our, but that probably just tells you, like, the ego that these guys have. He's like, fuck it, you know what? I'm so rich, I'm so powerful, nothing's going to happen here. And he goes back hours before he flies to Kansas City for the AFC Championship game. And this time he's getting a blowy. The guy just doesn't give a fuck. Like, he's like, you know, Pat Mahomes obviously had real estate in his head because he was worried. He's like, I'm worried about this game. Need to let out a little bit of anxiety. So I'm going to go down to Mei Ling here and get started for a second round, you know. So I don't know. I would have more respect for him if he just came out and said, look, lads,
it is what it
I
is.
Made a mistake, bad judgment, whatever. I went to this place, I shouldn't have done it. I'll pay the fine, I'll do what the community service is, whatever. Because it's a misdemeanor, right? It's not a really bad crime.
Well, but this is where the NFL has the interesting double standard. So it's a misdemeanor in the public court of opinion and everything else for public law. The NFL can do whatever the hell it wants to.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim Irsay had a DUI suspended for 6 games in a season.
For what?
For a DUI.
Oh, did he not kill someone in that car crash?
I don't think he did. No, I think he was just driving drunk.
I think he did, He was just off his game.
I thought he was in a car accident before they killed someone, though.
He was in an accident, but I wasn't sure if he killed anybody.
Yeah, take a look on this as we're saying this. But, like, I mean, you know, Steve Keim, the GM of the Cardinals, had a DUI this past year. And the team just said, straighten your shit out.
Yeah.
Like, the NFL wavers inconsistently on all of these things. But one thing that's very true is that they heighten every kind of punishment for an owner, because what they want to make very clear is that our owners do not put a bad light on the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reality is, even if it's a public misdemeanor, him saying all these things is him doing this for the sake of the NFL. It's not him doing this because him saying, oh, if as long as I can get publicly cleared, then everything's okay. It's no, if I get publicly said that I did something, then I'll get in a lot more trouble within the NFL than I would ever in a public law enforcement system.
Yeah, and I think initially it all came out, it was like, oh, there's a sex trafficking ring going on, and now it turns out that was all bullshit. Like, that the people that were working in this place were there their own accord, they weren't getting trafficked by anybody, so that was all blown out of proportion. But I would just be like, you know, just get over it, man. Just say you did what you did. Fucking pay the fine and, you know, take your whatever it is, one or two game suspension and just let that be it. But it's going to cost loads of money. It's putting this story way more in the spotlight than that could have been nipped in the bud weeks ago. And it's dragging it through the courts and it's dragging it through and it just puts this like damper on the Patriots' name again when they could have fucking nipped it in the bud weeks ago.
I know, but the hard part with all this though is like, we've been seeing this from Kraft for years. Not like this, obviously, but like, when have they ever given a crap what we've thought? Like, the whole idea has been for more than a decade. Like, oh, we're going to push every boundary we can within the sport. We don't care what you think of us. We're champions.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, like, you know, who's to say that, like, Kraft doesn't have that perspective and other things? Like, I'm not trying to perpetuate the idea that he's, like, some scumbag or all these other things, because...
He's not. He does, like, a lot of good things. Like,
no, exactly.
There's, like, a lot of great things for, like... Yeah. You know, he's a Brookline guy.
And I was going to say...
Lots of charity work for Boston.
As a Jewish guy, too, he's very big on supporting Israel, bringing guys from the Hall of Fame, big NFL guys, to Israel every year to bring a lot of awareness to the homeland and different parts of getting their support with it. All these great things are there. I'm not trying to, like, cast him off as this horrible person.
No.
But it's just, like, it's clearly in a perspective that, like, I feel weird judging any part of this because he clearly doesn't care what I think.
Yeah.
So at the same point, like, what does it matter then?
Yeah. Right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I'd say it's going to be lasting for another few weeks.
2 to 4 minutes.
Two to 4 minutes, yeah. Right, we'll move on to actual football talk and not 70-year-old men getting the fucking plum pulled off them down in Florida. We're going to talk about Kyler Murray. This was your... You wanted to chat about Kyler Murray, Barry.
I did.
Why did you want to chat about Kyler Murray?
So I think that there's two different things that are really interesting here. I know we're going to be talking about the draft coming up. Obviously, draft is in, let's call it 3 weeks.
3 weeks from tonight.
From today.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of interesting things that will be happening. We're all interested in what our team does with the first round. We're going to talk about this later. There's so many interesting things that can happen going forward for teams. Because we've seen it, the Colts, the Saints, they've nailed drafts. Things have skyrocketed for them.
Will you be awake for your pick? You lads are picking late, 26th, Jerk.
I'll be awake.
Yeah.
Don't fucking worry about that.
Pick 27, he wakes the next day, yeah. What happens.
Straight to sleep after pick 26.
Like on a fucking plane to Ireland, and I got to like pick 12, and then I landed in Ireland. I was like, what the fuck happened? Where's the Eagles picking? And then I found out they traded back.
I mean, happens. Could have had Lamar Jackson, obviously, we're saying there. The Kyler thing is the highlight of this draft because everyone's been highlighting that he is the number one QB and we're hearing all the talks of potential number one pick. But what makes this draft so interesting is that unlike a normal draft where your top five teams suck, which don't get me wrong, like the ones this year do too, my Bucks included, but usually the thing about that makes them suck is they have no QB. And we saw this last year, like when we had number one, the Browns needed a QB, the Jets needed a QB, like all these teams needed QBs. And it's weird because this year, if you look at your top five, none of the teams need a QB, technically speaking. The Cardinals just drafted Rosen. The Niners have Jimmy G. The Jets are obviously set with Darnold. Number four, the Raiders, you have Derek Carr, who's by no means like a horrible quarterback. Like, not top 10, but not horrible.
Well, until we saw his stats on the TV before came on air.
I agree, but...
His wins.
But he was still 20 touchdowns, 10 picks last year. Like, it's not horrible stats. I agree with how that translates to wins. The Bucs are kidding themselves into another year of Jameis Winston. So, like, teams, like, all have reasons to not draft a QB, but we're still so convinced this guy's going in the top.
Sure.
So, I was thinking about this because it's a very interesting kind of meeting in the middle of two different theories, right? So, one says what everyone, as an analyst, is saying, which is this guy's going at the top. Mixed with, but why would you take a QB? So naturally, something has to give there. Mm-hmm. So if we want to believe he goes early, someone is getting traded, someone's getting moved, something interesting is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the more conventional route that this goes, which is a team like the Cardinals or the Niners trade down to a team like the Raiders or the Giants who really want a QB. I'm not saying the Giants are scary, but I'm saying just in that range.
I don't know, I hear you.
And they say, I really need a QB, I'll trade up, I'll take him. And that's the normal way the NFL has always worked. What I want to consider for today is the crazier one, which is, what if one of those teams wants to take him while they already have a QB?
Mm.
Where do they trade the QB? Do we think this makes sense? Kind of just digging into this for a little bit.
So do you reckon the fact that, because he was kind of late to the party, right? He declared mid-January.
Yep.
He had kind of, I wouldn't say his heart set, but he had his eyes firmly on gone to the Oakland Athletics. Mm-hmm. They drafted him with the 8th overall pick last year.
Yep.
So he already had baseball in his mind. And then he must have had advisors going, listen, Kyler, your stock is super high now after winning the Heisman. A lot of teams are interested in you. You're probably going to go in the top 5 picks. So the fact that he's coming in late to the party, you know, these teams only have, you know, 3 months really to gather their book of evidence on this guy, as opposed to months in advance if they had known he was drafting earlier. So do you reckon that changed all these teams' way of thinking? It's like, holy shit, now we have this quarterback who, by most analysts, have him above all the others.
Yeah.
It's like Kyler Murray and then this next tier, and then like the next tier after that. It's so like, do you reckon it's changed how they're thinking?
It's interesting, because did you either of you ever watch the movie Draft Day?
Oh yeah. And I actually watched it the day of the draft.
Do you remember when everybody thought the consensus QB was going to be the guy, and then the team didn't take him?
Mm.
And then the team behind him didn't need him. And then the team behind him didn't. So he just keeps dropping, and teams are like, what is going on here?
Exactly.
And then it's like, do we take this guy or don't we take him? I think this is pretty much it. It's like, if they don't take him number one, and they decide to go Nick Bosa, that draft was like, hold on a minute. Nobody expected this to happen.
And that's what I mean. So this is where the draft gets so interesting.
Messed up the whole draft for every team going forward. But it's like, you gotta look, right? You fired, which is interesting, because you've hired a coach that got fired at college from being a head coach and got recruited as an offensive coordinator. And you brought him in. Now, if he said to you that Murray's your guy, you have to do everything to give him that. You know, he's obviously come in and he said this. Time's on his last legs there. He needs to get a team built and a winning season going again.
Mm.
But it's like, do I want to see the world burn if they don't take him? And watch how that just messes up every team's mock draft board at the top. Because, again, you look at a lot of these teams, he doesn't fit the bill for what a lot of teams play football. You know, he's small, he's athletic. Some teams just may want a quarterback to sit in the pocket and be the 6'3" guy you expect him to be. They don't want this little mobile, smaller than Russell Wilson guy running around the field.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, I like this topic.
What worries me is that we only really have one solid year of tape on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just jotted down like some of his numbers. He had in 14 games with Oklahoma, obviously he was the backup to Baker Mayfield.
Yep.
He had 14 games, 69% completion, 42 touchdowns and 7 ints. But like, if you actually look at his body of work against what major teams did he play against or notable wins? He had a few notable wins. I had the 59-56 slobber knocker against West Virginia.
Yeah.
So going up against another potential fourth round, maybe second round, Will Greer. Mm-hmm. There was the revenge game against Texas.
Yep, for the
obviously
Big 12,
a big rivalry game there. And then he beat Cliff's team, Texas Tech, 51-46. But there's only like 1 year of solid work there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like he's in, no offense to that conference, but the Big 12. If this was like a solid year against really good SEC teams, I'm like, all right, this kid can do it all. But it's like, not knocking that conference, it's just, it is a lesser level of talent than the SEC, and we only have that 1 year. Is that a flash of the pan? Or
no, I'm with you on this, but I think the thing that works in his favor is, one, we've been seeing a lot of QBs drafted recently who have had a year of experience. Think Mitch Trubisky.
Mm.
And the other thing that makes it easier for him this year is that his main QB competitor in this draft class is Haskins, who's also literally had 1 year of starting at Ohio State.
Yeah.
So it's like,
which
it's,
concerns me, like, no, having exactly. watched him, I'm like, oh,
and that's what
I don't
mean,
know why, like, he should be getting mocked so high. But
Then at the same time, from a lot of the things that I've heard just from listening to college football analysts and these guys that work in the NFL that just look at college football stars for Aaron Haskins, is like, the Ohio State offense isn't a great offense for QBs.
No.
You know, same as like Alabama's offense. It's just run the fucking ball.
Yeah,
it's like, you wonder when these Alabama QBs go to the NFL, they fail because they just ran the ball behind a huge offensive line the whole time.
Mm.
And then the rest of the Alabama players just burned out, so they just fail. But for him, it's like, one, he hasn't taken any punishment. Two, like, he's in that division there where you just need to be nimble and fast and get around.
Yeah.
It's like, the Niners haven't got their defense built yet. The Seahawks were technically meant to be in a rebuilding mode and done pretty well. You know, so you just never know. And it's, I think he could change that team and change a division.
Yeah.
But they have a lot more needs, the Cardinals, than just the QB.
Of course. And that's what makes this so interesting, is obviously you have the number one pick because there's a lot of things wrong in the team. So naturally, you think, oh, adding a guy like Bosa makes a ton of sense. But again, we're seeing the Cardinals doing all this talk like, oh, we signed Terrell Suggs, therefore this position is like fine, all these
things. He's good for like half a year.
No, exactly. Or, I mean, if that. And that's the thing that's like interesting about all this is like, we wouldn't be having this discussion if it was still Steve Wilks as the coach and still this like very routine offense. We're having to talk because it's Kliff, because Kliff said back in October when he was still at Texas Tech that if he had the number one pick, he would take Kyler. Mm-hmm. And because Kliff wants to be running the air raid offense that will make Kyler a much better fit in the NFL than he would be in a pro-style offense. Mm-hmm. So all those things align to it naturally. So agree to your point. Like the two most common scenarios of how this draft goes is Kyler's taken number one and they trade Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
Or they take Bosa. And it's just like, like those things happen. I don't think like they can try to pump the value. I don't know if Oakland is going to bite to trade up to one.
Yeah.
They would love it, don't get me wrong, but I don't know if that's going to happen. So then it kind of brings up the next interesting question, though, which is, so to your point around the kind of like this draft day, let's see the world burn scenario. Like, no, but I'm serious, and that's why I kind of want to play this out, is like, what happens then? So let's just, you know, number one happens. He doesn't get taken. They take Bosa.
Yeah.
You're the Niners at two. You're sitting there, do I want to take Quinnen Williams from Alabama, who by all accounts would be a great DN, fit in the same way across from D Ford like we talked about? Mm-hmm. Or do I want to take this guy and see if someone wants to take Jimmy off my hands? Which I know sounds funny, but you save basically $10 to $15 million per year on your cap for the next 4 years. And the funniest part is because of how they paid his contract, there's actually less dead cap for the Niners to trade Jimmy than there would be for the Cardinals to trade Rosen.
Wow. Interesting.
Really?
I'll get to my thoughts.
Well, because the Cardinals have paid like 80% of Rosen's salary already.
No, exactly.
So, I mean, like, any team that goes to them, they're getting them for nothing for the next 4 years.
Agreed.
It's one, though, I think just with San Francisco with Shanahan now, they're in year three, I believe, mm-hmm. together. They need to start putting together some results. And that's why I don't think they would go with Murray, that they would just keep Jimmy G there. And then you got to go Quinnen Williams.
I'm with you.
As opposed to a DN and just stick Williams in the middle.
Well, so I agree with this. But now it's like we get to three. And the Jets are obviously going to say we're fine.
And
the Raiders then at four.
So what did the Jets do? They trade back or do they stay there and take Josh Allen? Or
is it Josh Allen? Josh Allen, the DN. Yeah.
So they take him or do they trade back and try to say, hey, Raiders, do you want to move up here and take him?
No, exactly.
That we want this pick and then maybe you're third pick in the first round.
So I think if that would happen and he goes down to four, I think it stops there with the Raiders. But the ultimate, like, just infuse this into my veins, let me watch this 20 million times in a row, is the Bucks being on the clock at five and Kyler's still there. And we're like, what do we do?
But like,
you take him. No questions asked.
I just want to see it happen and just like the cameras pan to him in the green room and you can just see it in his face and bubbling with rage. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm not the number one overall pick. Why am I dropping here?
He's about to leave and all of a sudden I know where P. Diddy shows up as his agent. He's like, get back in there.
Have a small bit of trivia for you. I'm going to jump in here and make this a little... It's fun, but I'm going to make it even more fun. So, could be a fairly unique scenario in that we could have potential back-to-back Heisman winners from the same school going number one overall.
Okay.
The last I want to ask is the last time the Heisman winner, different guys, because there was Archie Griffin, so we're not counting that from the Ohio State, he won back-to-back. The last time two different guys from the same school won consecutive Heismans, we're not counting Reggie Bush's, because that was vacated from USC. We're not counting that, because technically 2005, nobody won the Heisman officially. Carson Palmer won it in 2004. So I'm going to ask you guys, when was the last time there were consecutive winners of the Heisman Trophy from one school? This is difficult, though.
I think I actually know this one.
If you do, fair fucking play to you.
Well, no.
I
was going to say 1981. I don't know why. Okay. It popped into my head.
It's in the 40s with Army, right? It was the running backs.
Yeah, it is.
Jesus. I have it's no in idea the 40s. The names are, but it's like 46 and 47 or one of those.
45 and 46. Okay. Holy shit.
Jesus.
You won't even take a stab at their names.
I have no idea. I remember literally reading it.
That's very good.
When it happened.
Pub quiz. This is pub quiz.
Well, because I just remember reading it when Kyler won. Because I was talking about him and Baker. Okay. And then obviously my first thought was like, well, what about Leinart and Bush?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
And then after that, I was like, fuck, I have to look away.
It's
away.
Forever. Yeah.
1945. Doc Blanchard, fullback for Army. 1946, Glenn Davis, H-back for Army.
Fullback, Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
The old school fucking I formation back then. That's the last time two guys from the same school.
It's forever ago. Now, I mean, again, I imagine this is the first time ever that you have two guys back-to-back years winning Heismans and then going number one overall.
Yes.
That would be a record.
That's literally like, the only time.
I would say, I don't think that's the only time it's ever happened. Right? Yeah.
If it happens.
So what sort of precedent will this set? Let's say Kyler Murray goes number one.
Yeah. This
you had this young, new head coach that's come in and it's like, this is the quarterback I want. Mm-hmm. You know? He's inherited Josh Rosen. He doesn't want Josh Rosen. He's like, this is who I want. Where does that leave, you know, as the trend goes towards all these new young head coaches that have all these crazy offense ideas? Like, you know, an outgoing coach leaves behind a 3-13 team. There might be a quarterback there that's only there like a year or two. And now all of a sudden this next young head coach comes in. They have an early pick. He's like, well, this is the quarterback I want. Yep. Do you think this will put the NFL on a bit of a slippery slope, as in a high turnover of early quarterbacks that just get sent around all these teams? Or do you reckon this is just an anomaly in that it won't really happen again? It's just a crazy situation.
Well, we're in a weird situation because not many teams need QBs at the minute. Like, there's like maybe two or three teams that need a QB, which is rare because normally a lot of teams need them and they don't have enough QBs.
Well, define, from college. Define what you want a QB to achieve, because I would look at half the teams in the league saying, is he going to take you all the way through to the playoffs?
It's, yeah.
Like, it's all like, well and good having a franchise.
Yeah, but it's a team sport, right?
True. But you could have said Andy Dalton. It's like, they have a QB.
Well, he's the average QB, right?
Yeah.
But he's been let down by that fucking team so much.
Yeah.
And the stupid shit that they've done every year. You know? But, like, you look at the Giants, if they had somewhat of a decent QB, that team could have went further, and if they had some sort of offensive game, like the Patriots, like Jesus Christ, when are they ever in the people going, that's a number one receiver class that they have every year? Bill and the guys just come with a plan. Tom's not a great QB. He's most successful QB, but he's getting it out less than 2 seconds. He doesn't want to hold the ball in the pocket, and it's fucking give it 4 yards and have Edelman take it. Let's do a bubble screen or something to confuse them, run the ball. But like, there's enough teams out there that you could say, if you can build a team around them, the team should be good enough to get the distance anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
please.
No, that's where I was going.
I
legitimately think there's like two or three teams out there that need a QB
right now.
And I was just going to qualify that, but it's like, you need a QB enough that you would give up a valuable asset for it.
Yeah.
So in that sense, that I would spend a first round pick, whether it's me drafting or me trading, all that. Like, there's that amount of teams where like the Redskins would gladly take on another QB right now because they're like, hey, we have Alex Smith. We're never sure what's going to happen with that again. And we paid $3.5 million for Case Keenum because the Broncos absorbed all of it. So therefore, we'd love to take on another quarterback.
And why not take a rookie quarterback? Because you're still paying Alex Smith his full wage. So if you take the guy in the second round, you're paying him nothing for 4 years.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and then maybe next year you cut Alex Smith and you eat $10 million of dead cap.
No, exactly. I mean, and to that point, as a side note, Will Greer, Redskins, second round looks like a
lock.
It just seems like a really good from a salary perspective.
Yeah.
But again, I think so. I'm glad you brought this up because this is the trend I want to be talking about. Is that like I do think that, and you brought up Andy Dalton, who I also want to rate, which I think is great. I do think we've locked ourselves. So let's rewind like a few years. We probably lock ourselves into the thinking of you draft a QB in the first round. That QB is with you for 5 years. So 4 years of the rookie deal, fifth year option, or you extend it before that. Typically, it looks about 9 years, which is probably the Andy Dalton route of, oh, it's been 4 years. We're not ready to give up on this guy yet, but we're going to give him an average salary because we think he's an average quarterback. Who knows, maybe he can have a really good year every now and then, which he ran, you know, has one or now every now and then. But we know he's not a top five, top 10 QB. I do think this actually is going to be a broader change, is that it's as you bring in these guys, I think they're stopping to look at the guys who they inherit as, I need to make this guy look good. And I think they're more like, I'll give it a season or I may not even give it any time.
Mm.
And let me jump to what I want. I low-key actually think this is Bruce Arians in Tampa right now, is that he's like coming in and he's like, I'm going to fix Jameis.
Mm.
And if he tries for a year, he's like, I couldn't fix him. He's going to be like, I need another quarterback.
Yeah.
And I, like, because, you know, a lot of these things happen. So, like, I don't think it's necessarily just the young guy. I think it's just going to be your new coaches are all of a sudden going to be way more empowered to do what they want with quarterbacks if there's not wide consensus that they're the guy. Look at Gruden right now with Derek Carr. Like, by all accounts, he's an average QB who you'd, like, roll with and say, oh, if, you know, we can build a good team around him, it can make sense. And it did 2 years ago. But you're sitting there saying, oh, I could have Kyler Murray, I could have Haskins. Like, maybe I'd rather tie my boat to those then guys.
There's the problem, because they take Kyler Murray, the Raiders, right? And you trade off Derek Carr. But guess what? You've just put fucking Kyler Murray with Antonio Brown, your man Williams, all this talent. Now, he looks a rock star. It's like, well, we'll never know if Derek Carr would have looked a rock star with that talent.
Oh, exactly.
You shipped him out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's just like...
Fair enough.
It's... The NFL is changing anyway, because the Eagles have been at the top of this list now, and they've taken the blueprint from the Patriots to give them guys one-year deals. One-year deals. Prove it deals. You know what? Prove it here and go make your money with another team.
Yep.
And that's the way the NFL is going now. Like, these guys that are coming in on the rookie contracts, getting their 4 years, 5 years, whatever. And one interesting thing that I listened to today was the Russell Wilson thing, where he's saying, by April 15th, I want to have a new contract here. If not, we're going to discuss it next season. It was interesting he said April 15th, because it's so early.
It's the day they start.
Most people are like July, or just before the start. Oh, yeah. He's giving it to them so early. But his thing is, you don't want to do it.
Unorganized or organized team activities start then, right?
Yeah. So it's nobody's ever given them a deadline before OTAs.
But that says a lot about him as a consummate professional. He's like, I have now entered my work year.
Yeah, like, give me the contract.
We're starting to work out as a team. So I'm focusing on the Seahawks.
I was going with this one was that you can come to him after that, and if he doesn't like the contract, he's not taking it. So what happens? He's out of contract, and then you come into next year and he doesn't like it, you tag him, right? He's kind of, you're going to fucking tag me, you're going to pay me $29 million next year. And then we don't agree again, you're going to pay me more again. And you know what? Then I'm just going to leave. Because you tagged me twice, I'm gone.
To New York.
And you burned me.
Sierra is a fucking show business woman.
But this
she'd love it in New York.
So I think you're going to have all these players, when the CBA comes up, complain about the fucking tag. But the owners are going to go, no. Like, this is, whatever they may concede, they will not concede the tag, because that is the one thing where they can control their assets to play and give them money. And they can do a Lev Bell and say, no, I'm not playing well. And you fucking lose $14 million.
Well, I'd love to be able to complain about getting $24 million a year. That'd be fucking great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but the biggest thing of why they never want to get rid of the franchise, to your point, though, is it with when a guy hits free agency, he resets the market.
Mm.
And the big part is, you never want Antonio Brown in his prime, Aaron Rodgers in his prime, to hit a free market, because the amount that someone's going to pay extra to get that person is going to just destroy every other team when it comes to tagging everything else in between.
You look at the money. So what do you give Russell Wilson? What's he worth to that team? He's never missed a game. He's been on some terrible teams with terrible offensive lines in front of him, and has played every game. What do you give him? Like, do you give him the 3 years, $90 million guarantee?
I think you should get more than Kirk Cousins. He's done more for that team.
I'm with you.
And he's more valuable to the city of Seattle than Kirk Cousins, who just sauntered in there getting $84 million guaranteed, you know?
But if they're going to just make the entire offense like what they did last year, they're going to say, all right, I want you to just hand the ball off down the middle, and now, hey, it's the fourth quarter, oh shit, let's actually start doing a passing offense. Why would you pay the guy at all?
Yeah,
fair point. Like, you can get almost anyone to do that right now. It's like, it's just a huge waste of his talents.
Right, we'll wrap up real quick. Mm-hmm. Before we take a break, Kyler Murray, quick on the spot decision.
What happens?
What's going to happen to him? Boom.
Cardinals take him. Trade Rosen.
Yeah. Okay. Cardinals take him.
Where is he going to get traded to? Rosen.
Giants.
For what?
I think they're going to want a second. I think you're either going to settle with a second or a third and a fourth.
So the second would be the 35th, 36th pick, I think. Or 37, actually.
I think, yeah.
38, yeah.
Because so he has to pick six, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Giants were high on Rosen actually coming out of UCLA last year, so it would make a little bit of sense.
It also helps with the whole Saquon or Donald debate if you're like, hey, we got a QB and a running back from that class.
Yeah, and if, I don't know, if the Rosen experiment doesn't work out and they have a bad year, you know, they could always draft one next year.
You
could draft Tua.
The stars are aligning, and he's going to end up in fucking New England.
That is actually going to probably happen.
He's legit going to happen, and he's going to be the chosen one.
And the reign of terror continues
forever. It never ends.
Like, it's just like, he's going to come to this area. The guy is like, he's legit a genius, this QB. Like, he just thinks at a different level.
Yep.
And he's going to come here.
McDaniels is going to realize he's staying here for the next 30 years.
It's like, this guy's brain is better than Tom's to run this extremely complex offense that we run. And he's going to be here for the next 30 years.
Fuck our lives.
That's what it's going to be. I'm just going to fucking listen to The Chosen one. There'll be pictures of Rosen around Boston.
May we all become the chosen Rosians.
Oh my God.
Right, we'll take a quick break and then we'll finish off with some of our main storylines and teams we're excited for on draft night.
Well, I suppose for, to give the people some context at home listening here, none of us know which teams the people have picked here.
Yeah.
So apologies if I've taken someone's team.
We'll see how it goes.
But,
so what are we going to do? We're going
to I'm going to go with the team that I'm interested in, then we'll move to Barry, and then we'll come back to the teams where each of us pick one where it could really go shit ways for them this year if they don't get this draft right.
I like it.
But the team I'm interested in seeing is the actual New York Giants. I'm just really interested.
I could have sworn you were going to say the Eagles.
I thought about joking it for a second, but no. I'm
interested slash like rubbing his fucking hands together like Mr. Burns if it all goes tits up.
We bought 5 more draft picks with our infinite cap space.
I you know,
right, stay your case.
There's just so much stuff that's going to go on with this team post draft as well. The whole Maras and them loving Eli Manning, you know. But what are they going to do in the draft now that you don't have Odell and you've got these picks? Who do you go with? Do you go with Haskins at 6 if he's there, or do you go defense and try to shore up that line again? Vernon's gone, Snacks Harrison's gone, and try to build for, because Gettleman's a defensive guy and then builds around that. And then do you go like in DK Metcalf if he's there, whatever pick he's at, or receiver? So I'm just really interested to see, do you do what Barry said and the Arizona Cardinals take Kyler Murray and then you trade for fucking Josh Rosen for a second or third round pick, you know?
The Giants are very much a best player available on the board type of team. That's kind of, that's the philosophy they've had for a long time. And, you know, sometimes, like, that's why they took Barkley at 2 last year. It's like, they, in their eyes, regardless of position, they felt he was the best player available after Baker Mayfield. So they took him. Then everyone's like, oh, but you should have taken a quarterback. And they're like, we felt Barkley was just the best player. End of. They've done that a few times. Like, when they took Evan Ingram, I was like, you know, they probably didn't really massively need a tight end in the first round. But they looked at Evan Ingram as like, that was the best player available at the time. That's why they took him. So I would not be surprised if they did take a defensive player, edge rusher in particular, with that 6th pick, just because they're so fucking rich in really elite pass rushers at the start of that first round.
There is really only the 5 or 6 of them, and then it drops off.
Very, yes. But they're all up there in the first few picks.
Like. The problem is there's so many teams look to be going to be taking these defensive players, you know. Yeah. And again, it's a weird one because you got Gettleman and the coach, but the Maras have such a big say in this, and they love Eli.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like people get on about the Cowboys and fucking Jerry Jones can't stay out of it, you know. He has to get involved. He's in the Monday morning meetings.
But he's the GM though, as well as the owner. That does add that little bit to it.
It's like, that bad thing, but again, the owner can say, no, this is where we're going with, guys. I fucking pay your wages. This is my team. This is the fucking toy I want. And by them just, you hear the reports, oh, Eli, next year's like, dude, you fucking get another asset here and you still play Eli and you're still shit. Like, what are you doing with all the, you're losing, you've lost a year now with Barkley, then you lose a year with someone else. You know what? Now you get a QB, you've got a year essentially with those guys before they're due their big paydays. And if it doesn't happen that year, they're gone to another team.
Mm.
So do they just accept it and bite the bullet and say, hey, listen, we love Eli. He's gone to the Hall of Fame. He's done this for us. But we can't sit here forever. The Colts moved on from his brother. The Broncos moved on from his brother. We can't just keep loyal to the one guy. If you want to be successful, it's a business.
I think they should draft a quarterback in this draft early. But I just, unless they're absolutely in love with Haskins, I just can't see them taking him at 6. I just, in their minds, they're probably like, there's better players available on the board if we pick at 6. Mm-hmm. And then maybe when they're picking again with the Odell pick, which is 17.
Mm-hmm.
Then if there's QBs on the board, they're probably like, okay.
Yeah,
Daniel, like a Drew Daniel Locker Jones, or a Daniel Jones. Yeah, exactly. Daniel Jones worries me just because Duke traditionally have never had a quarterback.
Well, they love it because the guy David Cutcliffe is the guy who trained the man
and does the Manning camp and all that. There is the link there, but like, I don't know, it just worries me. Daniel Jones gone, but I in their way of thinking, if there's a quarterback that they like available at that pick, they're more willing to go for him as opposed to take him jumping up and taking a guy that they feel is a bit of a reach at 6 and taking a defensive player.
I agree.
But a lot of guys have Dwayne Haskins going there, And I watched a lot of Haskins, and I always felt, I don't know if his pro, if he'd suit the pro game. And, you know, the offensive line for the Giants has been so bad. In years prior, I would have been like, actually, Haskins not that bad of a pick, considering the line's not great. They need a guy that's mobile. But now it actually looks like they're investing in the O-line, because they got, they overpaid Solder, but in fairness, he came along in the second half of the year. They got Hernandez early. They now got Zeitler, who was one of the best pass pro. So it's like, well, now they're actually investing in protection.
Yeah.
So like, why would you want a quarterback who runs a lot as well as just stands there? It's more built for a pocket passer now, which is probably a Josh Rosen or something.
Well, man, that's also Haskins. Haskins is so immobile, it hurts.
What, Haskins? Yeah. Not Haskins makes some plays on his feet, though.
But that guy does not want to run.
But that's the thing.
4'8", wasn't he? 4'9"?
But he can make plays on his feet, like.
He doesn't like them. In the same way that Roethlisberger can make plays with his feet. Roethlisberger would prefer to stay in the pocket.
That's true.
Yeah,
and at the end of the day, you invest in a line for two things, right? One, to make holes for your running back, and two, to create a pocket for your QB to throw the ball. And at the minute they've got a QB that can't throw the ball, he's just, the nerves are there, like the horse blinkers are on.
It's all check down stuff.
It's check down shit. It's throw the ball away. And you know what? I love watching it because I'm an Eagles fan, but see when you see him turn around on a bootleg and throw the ball away and then just look to the sideline and the team are just looking at each other. It's great for me, but as a Giants fan, I'm losing my shit. So
that's
my team.
That's okay. You're interested in seeing what the Giants do, Barry.
Mine's the Packers. So similar, two first round picks. So they have their own pick, new head which coach. Is 12, I believe, and then they have the Saints at 30. So they have Matt LaFleur coming in. I think that
was that for the Davenport trade.
Yeah, from the Saints from last year.
I don't know. I haven't heard much about Davenport yet.
I think it's looking good for the Packers.
Yeah.
But I think the interesting part about it is that they invested so heavily in their secondary in the draft last year. So Jair, Josh Jackson, they paid the Smiths, is the joke of it. So Preston and Za'Darius Smith. So they got linebacker. They had a pass rush. They're getting these guys. And it's like, I would love to almost see them just go full offense in the first round and just get Rodgers some weapons.
Mm.
So number 12, if he's still there, take the top tight end, Hockenson. Make that interesting double tight end like formations with Jimmy Graham. Get some real speed in there.
Mm.
Get A.J. Brown from Ole Miss at 30. Give him another guy who can really work inside and be a really good, like, in the numbers receiver. Like, get all these interesting options to, like, really let him...
So you think Metcalf will be gone by then?
Oh, I mean, he's definitely gone by 30. But, okay, as a side note, I know we're going to be talking about this later. I see serious bust potential with this kid. He played 3 years in college, never got more than 40 catches in a season, got more than 80 for his career. Like,
workout warrior.
Oh, has sure. People falling in but love it's just him. Like when wide receivers are workout warriors, but their regular season stats never showed, bad routes don't translate. Mm. Like, just being able to run a go route is great.
Yeah.
But that just makes you Darius Hayward Bay. Well, does not make you a long term receiver. And John Ross. Yeah.
He broke the 40-yard dash record.
He got picked, fifth by the Bengals, and like nothing's happened.
Done absolutely nothing. He's been injured a lot of times.
So it's just like, it's great. Oh, Corey Davis was that one. But Ross was right after. It's great, don't get me wrong, but it's like, you know, I'm not as crazy about it as other people. And frankly, I kind of wish I want other teams to take them where, like, maybe I hope that he doesn't work as well on those teams. Because it's hard to see a fit where DK Metcalf looks like a bona fide superstar besides that you just need a deep threat and only a deep threat.
And the size of him as well. Oh, it's, I mean, no, I honestly think he's a bit oversized for a wide receiver.
But there's reasons why people love him. They're like, oh, this is Calvin Johnson, but bigger and faster. But like, the problem is Calvin Johnson was an elite route runner.
Yeah, but like, is Metcalf?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, his three-cone shuttle drill was horrendous.
Yeah, yeah.
All these drills where you have to break out.
Exactly. All the things that are very quick to routes.
He's terrible at. He's great if you want to fucking send him 40 yards down the field on a fucking straight or a fade.
Mm-hmm.
But like, where you need a 3 yard slant and you need that foot planted, gone.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not your guy. So that's
carrying too much muscle. I think that's gonna, on the speed aspect of things, I don't know, he's after bulking up fucking way too much. What's he like, 250 or something?
No.
Or something
like,
ridiculous?
He was, you know, he measured in the combine like 260.
And that's it was what
like,
he was, yeah.
It was under like, under 2% body fat.
Which he'd actually be dead, which is scientifically impossible. Yeah. He would literally be dead. But I don't know.
He's like, can't two, see like 255 him. Something like that.
Yeah, he's a fucking beast. Not Kelvin Benjamin 255. Solid muscle.
Not the portly type. But again, so like Packers for me, I'd love to see him add some weapons.
228.
It was 228?
Yeah.
I knew it was way more. My bad. My bad entirely.
I honestly saw 250 somewhere.
Yeah, I definitely saw it.
Yeah, no, Jesus. It's
fucking huge for 228.
So,
it's a Packers field. Yeah. For me, it's the Raiders just because, you know, they're stockpiling picks.
They've got three of them.
Three first rounders, then they're picking 35th. They've got their first year GM, Mike Mayock. For years, his sole job has been to evaluate guys coming out of college.
Determine if they had oily hips.
Oily hips, or, you know, all these different phrases that he has. So, like, it starts to make sense now that they stockpiled all these picks. They bring in a guy who is a fantastic evaluator of talent. You get some wrong. Fucking, who doesn't, like? It's just going to be an interesting dynamic now between two guys who have for a long time evaluated talent coming out of college, because as we were watching earlier on, Gruden's QB camp, he was always evaluating talent in regards to quarterbacks, and now we have Mayock who's evaluating all the other positions and then making picks. So time will tell if, you know, everybody gave the Raiders shit when they let Mac go, but keeping Mac and Derek Carr, that's two massive salaries taken up, what would have been maybe 25% of the salary cap.
Yeah, it's also on two players. It's also the guaranteed money that matters. So we talked about this in the last pod, but so huge you took the guaranteed money, you turned it into Antonio Brown, Trent Brown, Tyrell Williams, and then three first round picks.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I can't be too mad about
absolutely not. And they got their big free agent in AB. They got their tackle, albeit overpaid, and Trent Brown. So a lot of their needs are on the defensive side, like cornerback. Garyon Connolly hasn't
pass
really
rusher.
Pass, yeah. who would have thought they need pressure off the edge? So I do think they'll use a lot of those early picks just because the draft is so rich in defense. I think I have a sneaky suspicion they're gonna take quarterback. I don't know why. I just think that they will.
Well, we talked about this.
Maybe like, not that early.
I think he could take Haskins if he's there. If not, he could take. He's definitely wants Kyler. Like all those things.
It's just interesting that AB has become BFFs with Derek Carr,
and then
working out straight away.
And then AB will immediately become BFFs for the next guy.
Yeah, yeah.
We know,
but that's the drama that, like, when I say I'm excited to see. A part of that's also the drama that comes with all of this, you know?
By the way, Jared, what was it you used to call Mayock? Derriere, like the Derriere Extraordinaire or something like that for his evaluation of guys' butts?
And he's a Boston College guy, so, I know. Like to see a Boston guy do well. I always liked Mike Mayock. It's a shame he's not at the Combine anymore because he was
great. I mean, he'll still be there, to be fair.
In a different capacity. You don't get to hear him on NFL Network. Yeah. Okay, so the Raiders is my team that I'm excited to see what goes down for them. So Jer, your team, where if they don't do well, things could go belly up.
This could be a pretty obvious one, so people go, you're not really putting much thought into it, but I'm just gonna go with the Cincinnati Bengals. Just because the Browns, they're improving yet as to what they can do, but they brought a lot of talent in as well, have a lot of talent left from last year. The Steelers may have lost Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, but they've got the nucleus of a good team there, and they've sat atop of that division most of the last decade. And the Ravens are just the Ravens. Good defense, tight games. Who knows with a year with Lamar Jackson under his belt now, they may get things moving. What have the Bengals done, though? Legit nothing. Hiring offensive linemen, that overpaying on offensive linemen to come in. New coach late getting there because they were at the Super Bowl. Not really a guy that's like inspiring me to do anything. So I'm just like, if they don't get it right in the draft, they could just be sitting at the bottom of the AFC North.
I think they will. I think they are going to be at the bottom.
But like,
I just can't see them. Can't
at
see
the
them.
Bottom, but non-competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know where
the Browns would have been.
Where the Browns would have been. Just a complete 180 in the state of Ohio from the Bengals to the Browns leading that there. Again, off the head, I don't know how many picks they've got. They are bringing back Tyler Eifert, though, aren't they?
Yeah, for another just a one-year deal.
And I hope that works out for him, because I really like him being a Notre Dame fan, you know, and he was awesome there. He just has been bitten.
And he's
by
a top player when he's,
you know,
when he's not injured. He's a top,
you know,
top player.
You got AJ Green there as well, and some of these players. What do you, like, do you start maybe, like, trying to trade some of these to a team for an extra pick to try and get into a rebuild mode? I don't know what to do there. I think if they don't pick right, it's just going to be a horribly long season for the people of Cincinnati.
And our good friend Kyle Keane, a long-suffering Bengals fan. God love him. I actually saw Pro Football Focus had Dwayne Haskins mocked to the Bengals earlier on, actually. Interestingly enough.
Really?
Yeah. So they have the Bengals taking quarterback just because they have that new head coach who was a QB coach before. Barry, who's your team?
I could go for the obvious funny part and say the Bucks, but I'm gonna.
More than welcome to.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm actually gonna say the Vikings, and the idea that the Vikings, we came into last year with this huge expectation for them. We thought NFC title contender. We thought, you know, that Kirk Cousins going to this team makes just a much more stable floor. The team's going to just be super good. They made an NFC title right before with Case Keenum. Like, we thought all these things would translate. The problem that we're seeing right now, though, is that they are in a good spot, but have no way of really bringing in a lot more talent, especially after bringing back Anthony Barr for the huge deal. So it's really, you either nail these draft picks and get that infusion of talent you need that takes you over the top, or you're going to start just having to shed guys for the sake of getting cap. And that all that does is just make you worse. It just puts you on that steady decline of, what are we doing here? Because after this season, you have to pay Thielen and all these different players in between, where you don't really have the cap space to do it. I think they have like $11 million, $12 million in cap space left right now. And that's not even counting their draft picks, who a first rounder is like three of that for them. So it's a big issue for that team right now that if you don't nail that, you're losing a lot of value for the next year or two that will really hamper what this team can do for what the expectations were when Cousins came in.
Okay.
So maybe not in the same way as the Bengals of if you don't get anything, then you just stay like bad. But it's really like a bad draft here would just be like the death knell of like there's not a lot of hope for this team.
Okay. For the next couple of years. Yeah.
Exactly. Which I'm saying, which is the window that we're talking about. Yeah.
That's exactly the route I'm going with the Washington Redskins.
That's a good one.
I think Jay Gruden, if he has a bad year, I think he could be gone at this stage. Because they're kind of like the Bengals in that they're always in that middle fucking pack
in the draft. They start off well.
And they just fizzle
injuries.
Off.
Yeah. Injuries to their offensive line always kill them.
Yeah.
They've like, if that O-line could stay fit, they're fucking fantastic. They are huge guys.
They have the promise, but they just never live up to the potential that they have.
They just don't seem to have support for that team either, because that stadium's empty most fucking weeks.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fact that, you know, we don't know if Smith is going to play again. Hopefully he does, but he's been through the ringer there. They have their bridge QB in Case Keenum. I just feel like they have to draft somebody if they're going to think long term. It's like, look, we need to make something happen here, lads. Case Keenum is not the future for them. And Jay Gruden has to be in his mind. He's like, lads, we need to fucking turn this around fast.
Because, exactly.
You know, we know, like, the Eagles will be there, thereabouts. The Dallas Cowboys have shown us now that they can win a playoff game. Obviously, don't know what the fuck's going to happen with the Giants, but they got to be competing with the Eagles and the Cowboys. So they at least need to be winning 8 or 9 games just to compete there.
I've seen a few
people
saying them taking TJ Hockenson, because Jordan Reed can never stay fit.
Mm. But at the same time, like, for a team like that, I agree that it's an upgrade, but it's like, it's not the one you need right now. For all the other issues
It's
the hero we deserve, but not the one we need.
No, I mean, like, basically.
I just feel like they need to make something happen for the Redskins, you know, from a personnel selection standpoint, and that would make a bit of sense if they're to take a quarterback. And they might get good value there, around 15. They're not really reaching for somebody. You're kind of talking maybe Drew Locke, Daniel Jones kind of territory at that pick. So you can't say to them, ah, jeez, they reached really bad. It's kind of, that's that little window.
It's the range we expect.
It's the range you expect them to go in. So you couldn't fault them for taking a quarterback like that at 15. So
yeah.
I just feel like Gruden's on the hot seat, needs to make something happen. And if he doesn't, he's getting the chop before the end of the season.
And despite all this hope, we know the Patriots are just going to be in the Super Bowl again, right?
I have the Patriots down as one I'm interested to see, just because they got to, like, draft Brady's successor eventually.
They have to draft the new Gronk.
And the thing is, it is like you got three solid tight ends that were projected to go in the first round, the two Iowans and
Irv Smith from Alabama.
But you know Bill, if Bill gets a phone call, he'll probably draft, you know, he'll move back down into the second round and take some more collateral there. That's how he does it.
It's an interesting, because I can think of another team, and it's from the NFC. You know, you said the Cowboys got to the playoffs last year, but they need a serious draft, because DeMarcus Lawrence needs paid. Elliott needs paid. Dak Prescott needs paid. Cooper. Your offensive line has taken up fucking a third or more of your cap space alone.
Still need to and give they've been banged up.
You know?
You still need to give Cooper a deal this offseason.
You need Cooper. You've no really other receivers. You got rid of your best slot guy because you weren't going to pay him.
So we all want that to go belly up then, yeah?
But it's
but unanimous decision.
I mean, yeah. So the team we're most excited to watch go down in flames.
And Jason Garrett could be gone. You know, because they're not giving him an extension. happy hands. But,
dude, stop congratulating a two-yard run up the middle.
But like that's they are a team that need to be really looking at A, if Jerry Jones is sitting there and is him and Stephen heavily involved, if they know realistically, regardless if they get to the playoffs next year, Jason's gone, that they need to be drafting players they think the next coach can use these players. Because you've got two ballers in Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch.
Yep.
You got DeMarcus Lawrence up front, but you pissed him off by not giving him a contract. David Irving's gone. Mm. You've re-signed Randy Gregory and you're going to stand behind him.
Can we talk about that for one second? Like, okay. just extending a guy who's serving his fourth suspension for drug violations just screams organizational failure to me.
And like you took tackle Charlton and that guy's doing nothing. You can't develop him. So it's like,
well, and the sad part is the people who are going to end up like getting the brunt of this are the good corners who've been developing. So like Awuzie, guys like that, yeah, are going to get the raw end of the deal of, oh, we can't pay you, so they go somewhere else.
And then, but at the same time, it's like they get fucked because what, your defensive line can't get pressure, so you're having to fucking track this receiver for longer than you need to.
Yeah.
It's like, so you look at the fucking Rams, like their offensive system's great. The corners are always making the picks because the defensive line is just smashing it right up the middle.
No, exactly.
So
I love how we go that we're less land, more slantier. But as soon as there's a little sniff of Cowboys failure, we're all like, ah! I mean, inject it into my veins.
I mean, but why not have both, right? Why not throw the slant with the slantier?
Yeah. All right, lads, that wraps up our teams that we're excited to see, I guess, do well, for want of a better phrase, and teams we're interested to see if things don't go well, how tits up it's going to go for them. What's the beer reviews? Oh, you only drank half mine.
I was about to say, I drank the most.
It's barely a dribble taken out of O'Leary's.
Jeez. Yeah, porter, not for me.
I'm going to go with like a 4.8. I think it's the only time I've ever given sub 5. Actually, 5.4. I'll give it
if you gave this a draft pick from 1 to 7, what would you give it? You'd use your 6th round pick, 7th round pick on that beer?
No, I'd wait for the draft to finish. It's undrafted. They'll call him out and the draft is over, yeah. Barry?
Yeah, this is like a 5. This is pretty bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with 5.
I drank it because it was in front of me. Make it easy.
We'll round it off and we'll all give 5. All right, lads. Thanks for coming on. We're going to have our mock draft, in like 2 or so weeks?
We got next week or 2.
Yeah. We'll really ramp up our analysis and figure out who we think is going where. We'll probably do our live draft again. I think it was a good crack last year. We've just got to find somewhere to do it. But yeah, that does it for episode 58. Thanks very much for tuning in. Keep tabs on, we'll announce when we're doing the mock draft, where and all that sort of stuff. So that'll be on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter pages. And yeah, keep following us on the different podcast apps. Make sure you subscribe. Sometimes I see like hundreds of people download, but yeah, they're not actually following the podcast. So if you can subscribe, that would be fantastic. And yeah, that's it for this week. Tune in next time where, as always, we will have less slant and more slantcha. Take care. It was 5 chains on my neck. It was no smut on my rep last time that I checked. I was selling zones in the set. Make a quarter mil, no sweat last time that I checked. I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress last time that I checked. First you get the money, then respect, then the power and the hoes come next. Last time that I checked. Come through fly. No cosign, I ain't need radio to do mine. I done fine and I take my time and take my tribe. Every level that I crossed in this game like state lines, it was visionary. Either I'm genius or you niggas scared. Maybe it's both in this balance I deliver daily. For every nigga in these streets trying to feed the babies. The single mama's working hard not to miss a payment. And dirty money get washed on royalty statements. Black owners in this game are powerful racists. Young niggas in the set just doing it makeshift out the garage. It's how you end up in charge. It's how you end up in penthouses. End up in cars. It's how you start off a curb server. End up a boss. It's how you win the whole thing and lift up a cigar with sweat dripping down your face. Cause the mission was last hard. Last time that I checked, it was 5 chains on my neck.
It was no smut on my rap last time that I checked. I was selling zones in the set. Make a quarter mil, no sweat last time that I checked. I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress last time that I checked. First you get the money, then respect. Then the power and the hoes come next last time that I checked.
I got the front and in the back. We on the way and that's a fact. This real, this ain't rap. Where everybody wanna act pro-black.
Don't really fuck with
the us. Last lie you heard, this ain't that. This, that, I didn't. Made it out the gutter shit. Nip told you fuck the middle man. I told you fuck a bitch. Fuck wearing they clothes, I wear my own shit. Y'all get on y'all label, I own my own, bitch. Hey, Mill, I remember all that game you throw me. Don't fuck around and get played by the label owners. Talk that shit to these niggas, Asia and Broner. But secure the window, don't let the game fold ya. Cause when this game over, it's when the game over. And all they do is play the game till this game over. And you be giving game like a big brother mission. Never let them take it from us.
Last time that I checked, it was 5 chains on my neck. It was no smut on my rep last time that I checked. I was selling zones in the set. Make a quarter mil, no sweat last time that I checked. I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress last time that I checked. First you get the money, then respect. Then the power and the hoes come next last time that I checked.